George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. This is the talk of our times. The talk of our times.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. I'm glad to be here. It's a great day in Chicago. It's beautiful, and I hope it's beautiful where you are because it is a great day to be alive. Yeah, it is a great day to be alive in the city of Chicago. We have our problems, I'm pretty sure. Every other state has their problems. And I want to say every show I start off basically talking about the weather because it's right in front of me. I'm not a weather forecaster. I'm not a meteorologist or a weather person or anything, but I just report what I see directly in front of my window, you know, because I'm doing a show from my studio. And we're located near the lake. It's always cooler near the lake, and it's always a little warmer inland because that, you know, that breeze, sometimes a cold breeze, comes in off the lake. And we folks on the north side, at least the area where I am, we're the first to feel it, you know. And but it's great, folks. I don't mean to complain too much about the weather on some of my shows, but it's feels in the time sometimes, and I just go on and go on and go on about it. But anyway, these guys are saying it's going to be great as the week goes. I mean, it's going to be great weather as the week progresses. And I want to say, if I'm off the air on Mother's Day, I want to say, and which I probably will be because it's one of my days off, which is a Sunday, this coming Sunday. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all those great mothers out there who are just loving parents to their children, loving and caring parents to their children. And my hats are off to you because I know it's a hard job, especially for some of you single parents out there. My hats are off to you. Happy Mother's Day to every mother out there who have been such a great parent to their children. Especially the teenagers. I mean, wow. I mean, you really got to have some thick skin sometimes for a teenager. And I would know because I have one. And it's ongoing. What can I say? But anyway, I'm going to be saying Happy Mother's Day throughout the day on this show. So be prepared for that. There is no guest scheduled for today. I don't know if that's my goof up or someone else's. But anyway, there's no guest scheduled for today. So if you want to turn off the radio now, you can. That's up to you. But the show, far as I'm concerned, the show must go on. However, we will have a show, and we will have a guest tomorrow on the show. I mean, you know, sometimes a lot of guests call off. Some of them don't show up. Some of them lie about what they do. And I have to say, hey, no. But we will have a guest tomorrow. I don't go a whole week without a guest. You know, sometimes I have a guest every day during the 4-day week that I'm on the air. Then sometimes I have one or two guests for a whole week, which is fine with me. It was just fine with me. Give me a time to, you know, straighten some things out, get some things together. And give it another shot. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for all your kind and positive words that you say about me and this show. I probably should say what you say about the show. Okay. And that's always great. That's always good. It's daylight saving times, folks. I just love it. The days that just last so longer. I remember a few months ago during this time, I would, you know, come on the show and it would be pitch dark. But it's bright outside, and that's a good thing. All right, we're going to have the primary. This is Primary Tuesday, April April. I'm still thinking April, folks. This is May 3rd, okay? I have a calendar, great big old calendar in front of me. I'm still saying April, but you know, you have to get used to it. I'm so used to April, and I have to get unused to April and get used to May. This is May 3rd, and this is primary night for Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders. And, you know, so... And they're already saying that Donald Trump is going to sweep this. But Ted Cruz has gone nuts. He's gone crazy. He's saying Donald Trump is a pathological liar. So is Ted Trump. So is Ted Cruz. He is a pathological liar. You know, they're all liars. Everyone. And, you know, we have some slim pickings for choice as for president. But Ted Cruz is, I mean, he's going around bashing because he knows, Ted Cruz knows he has to win tonight. He has to win this primary or he's done. He's finished. And that's why he's, you know, trashing and bashing and attacking Donald Trump in so many of these unorthodox ways, because he needs to win tonight. If he doesn't, it's over. So therefore, if it's over, he will not be able to gut Obamacare because he hates Obamacare or anything that Obama has done or has or plans to do in his last few months in office. So Ted Cruz is really up a creep. And I agree with Donald Trump, and I don't always agree with Donald Trump. Ted Cruz at this point in the election for president of the United States is desperate, and he's trying to hatch on and on to anything that he can. I mean, if he can't win tonight, it's over. Because in the last week or last few days, he's picked a running mate. He has gotten the endorsement of a governor. You know, I mean, he has really done some positive things in the last few weeks or last few days even. But he's still lagging behind. So he's desperate. Donald Trump is right, and I'm not a Donald Trump fan. Donald Trump is right. This guy is desperate, and I don't think he's going to get it. I think Donald Trump is going to get it because every time I'm talking to someone or I hear someone talk, they're talking about voting for Donald Trump if they are Republican. Voting for Donald Trump. Not once has Donald Trump said that he was going to gut Obamacare, take away your health care. Not once has he said that. Ted Cruz has said it many times. Ted Cruz has talked about wars. Ted Cruz has talked about dismantling everything Obama has done that people are benefiting from. This, and he's picked the most worst person in the world to be his vice president. Carly Fiorina. Now, how in the hell does he think he's going to win anything with her? I mean, if you watch the video, his latest video at his rally, he's being questioned. She's standing there right beside him, looking like she don't know where she is. But you know what? She wants the media to turn away from Ted Cruz and put that mic on her because she's got a lot to say. A lot of lies. A lot of lies. But you know, if she starts talking, there's no doubt about it. The first thing she's going to do is bash Hillary Clinton. She wants to take on Hillary Clinton so damn bad she can feel it. But after tonight, her and her partner, Ted Cruz, they will be out of the race. If they try to run again, it will be crazy. Because Ted Cruz will be done. Okay, the polls are closing, half closed. And the votes are being counted. So Ted Cruz can, you know, go back to where he came from. You know, Canada. Some people saying that he is a American citizen because his mother was an American citizen, although he was born in Canada. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's going to be exciting, okay? On the Democratic side of the aisle, Hillary Clinton and if I can remember, Bernie Sanders, they are neck and neck. Bernie Sanders could pull off an upset tonight, like he's done it, like he's done in Michigan. However, you know, it's a long shot. Hillary has started her focus on Donald Trump. Donald Trump. So we'll see what happens tonight, folks. This is another one of those primaries, you know, another one of those Super Tuesday primaries. If you're listening to this live, it's Super Tuesday. If you're listening to it after the show is recorded and downloaded and archived, well, you know, then I'll be talking in the past tense. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Anything goes, things in the news on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, smart quiz question. Who vetoes bills? Who vetoes a bill? That's a Constitution question. It's a very, very easy question. If you don't know, you can always go to your device and go to Google or somewhere, some search engine, and look up that question, and your answer will appear. All right, let's move right along. Chicago, the teachers decided, I think I talked about this yesterday. I probably did. The teachers in this city decided they were not going to strike. And I have a feeling because the governor doesn't give a damn if they strike. The governor wants them to strike. And like I said before, this guy wants chaos. And I'm looking at something right now that says an Illinois panel votes against Bruce Rauner, who is the governor of Illinois, to close Kewanakee a detention center. It's spelled funny. Anytime somebody votes against Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, who has slashed and cut and burned and just about caused this state to fall off a cliff, that's a good sign, because every time somebody votes against him, it weakens him, no matter how much money he's had. He has. It weakens him. It weakens him in order for him to get anything done. He can't win anything because most of his proposals are preposterous. And this is a Democratic town. Control the legislature. He's the governor. You know, he can't get anything done. You know, he comes out with his proposals. He comes out with this and that. But basically, when he can't get anything, when he can't get his way, He starts to destroy things, programs, jobs. He doesn't give a damn. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Bruce Rauner doesn't give a damn about Chicago. He doesn't care about the Chicago public schools. One of my friends said he is the governor of the entire state of Illinois, but he treats it like as if he's not the governor of Chicago, as if he has nothing to say about what's going on in Chicago, and he doesn't like public schools. Chicago is the biggest public, is the largest public school system in the state, and he doesn't care about public schools. You know why? Because he can't stand unions, and unions permeate all through the Chicago public schools. And Rauner cannot stand them, so therefore he doesn't like public schools. Therefore, he doesn't give a damn or care anything about those kids. Now, he will carry his ass downstate and do all kinds of photo ops with the rich kids, but you will never catch him doing a photo op up here in Chicago in the public schools where it's 80%, 85%. People under the poverty level, poor kids, in other words. Ass up here, because he doesn't like these schools. He doesn't like the unions. He doesn't like anything. He doesn't like workmen's compensation. He tries to destroy everything in this state. A lot of people are still getting paid. Some people are still getting their checks, but every time they get paid, the state goes further into debt, because there is no budget. So the bills are piling and piling and piling and piling up. We are billions of dollars in the red in this state, billions, but nobody seems to give a damn. Nobody seems to care. The governor doesn't care. The Democratic legislature doesn't care. just letting this state just fall. Business are leaving. People are leaving. Chicago's population is at its lowest in any time in history. Business are walking the hell out. You know why? Because a lot of them aren't getting paid, such as some of the vendors. They aren't getting paid. And a lot of these programs and needed programs to help people have been totally wiped out by this governor. And for those programs to start up again, it's going to take a long time because it took a long time to get them going in the first place. So he's caused a lot of damage already, and he doesn't give a damn. He wants to cause as much damage as he can. I'm going to tell you this. This guy is a one-term governor. He will not get his ass back in office. That he is totally out. Okay, he's got about 2 more years as governor. Okay, and everything that he's doing it through executive action. And he has 2 more. If we can wait his ass out, because he will not be voted back in, folks. This is no way it's going to happen. This guy's polling numbers are in the 20s. If they might be lower than that. Who knows? Nobody likes him, and he doesn't give a damn about that. It's his way or the highway. He will not be back in office. You know, because I'm thinking about a year from now, and it's when it's his third year in office, he's going to have an opponent. He may have 3 or 4 opponents. Because he's vulnerable. He's vulnerable. Because he's a failed-ass governor, he's vulnerable. And that's not just me saying it. We've got the 2 biggest newspapers in the city of Chicago saying the same thing. The smaller newspapers are saying it too. This guy, and I'm saying it, he is a total, total dismal failure. I say this. I say the same things on him on social media. He's the worst governor this state has ever had. We've never been 10 months without a budget. We've never been without a budget, period, until we got this guy in office. Yes, Illinois was in some financial troubles before he was elected or bought the office or people didn't vote and he somehow became governor. Yeah, we were in financial straits, of course. But this governor, when he took office, instead of making things better, this guy made it a lot worse. A lot worse than what it ever was. Now, when you don't hear anything from Bruce Rauner, when you don't hear anything from him, like he's not on television giving speeches or anything, he's somewhere with his minions, with his flunkies, in some dark room, back room somewhere, coming up with stupid proposals about what he wants and how he wants it and when he wants it. And if he doesn't get it, once he's telling us about it, if he doesn't get it, he walks his ass off and we don't see him no more until the next time he comes up with some garbage to try to put on Illinoisans that a lot of people don't agree with. Like I said before, it's a lot of people, even state workers. I think there's about 60,000 of them in the state of Illinois. They may not get paid. They may not get paid. And if they are getting paid, every check that these 60,000 people are getting for their work, without a budget, the state is going into deeper, deeper, deeper debt. And all Bruce Rauner is going to do, he's not going to look at himself or his actions or inactions. He's going to blame it on somebody else. He's going to blame it on the Democrats. He's going to blame it on the progressives. He doesn't realize that he is the governor of Illinois. If the governor of Illinois do not know how to run a state, he should not be in office. I mean, if I couldn't do my job, I wouldn't be here. If you couldn't do your job, you wouldn't be at your job. This guy cannot do his job, will not do his job. He should be fired. I mean, Bruce Rauner is being blasted all over the state of Illinois. People downstate, suburbians, south, west, east, he's being blasted all over. I mean, the guy is being blasted by his own party, Republicans of his own party. He's being blasted by other governors, Republican governors, saying, Bruce, stop this nonsense and get a budget for the state of Illinois. But he won't do it. He will not do it.
Well, we don't have the money.
No, we don't have the money because you took the money and you gave it to your wife. There can be money. I mean, there is money, folks. I mean, we can get out of this stuff. We can get out of this predicament in a few hours if this guy would sign a budget that the Democratic legislature puts on his desk. But he lets it sit there, or he will veto it, and then it goes nowhere. And then he goes back and blame the legislature and Michael Madigan and John Cullerton. Why are you blaming them? They put a bill on your desk. I guess Brown, I think we're too damn dumb to know that he's the culprit. He's the problem in Illinois. Yeah, Pat Quinn, the former governor, he wasn't a great person. He had his problems, but we would have never been in this damn situation if a lot of people would have gotten up off their ass, headed to the polls to keep Bruce Rauner out of office, but that didn't happen. And I've said this a zillion, million, trillion times before. If you don't get your ass out there and vote, the wrong person is going to get in office and you're going to be sorry. And a lot of people are sorry. They want their vote back or they wish they should have voted. But it's too damn late. This man is going to wreak havoc on top of the havoc that he's already caused in this state. Seniors, elderly, Meals on Wheels, rental assistance, you name it. It's just too much to name, folks. Autism, the mentally ill, police and fire. Bruce Rauner is even trying to stop federal money from coming into Illinois. Money that has nothing to do with him or the budget. That's coming from Washington, D.C. He tries to stop that. The guy wants to see chaos. He wants to see riots in the street. He wants to see protesters down there protesting him. But he doesn't know that people not only do not like him, people despise him. I mean, when you're despised or even just not liked and you're a politician, you're going to have a hard time getting things done. You cannot straighten out a problem without support. You don't have any support, you can forget it. Instead of working on getting people not to like him, he should be working on getting people to like him. Because if people like you, hey, wow, you're going to have an easy way, a easy way of it. They despise you. You'll be a one-term governor. So I would like to say to people of Illinois, hang in there. The guy, if we can hang in here 10 years, he's going to destroy what he can destroy. But you just got to hang in here. This guy will be out of office in 2018. And I know that seems like a hell of a long time because he's just wrecking the state. But the thing about it is he's using his executive powers. He is using his executive powers. That means whatever he's doing to the state, he's just writing it in, and it's law. You know, it's not going through any type of legislative. They're not voting on it. They're not bringing it up. There's not compromise. He just does it by just writing it down. And the next governor who replaces this asshole, everything that Bruce Rauner wrote down to pertaining to cutting services, cutting this, cutting that, slashing and burning, that next governor can come along and look at those books, everything that he written down, everything that he cut, everything he slashed, and just erase all of that stuff from that book. And all of his cuts will be put back into force. All of those cuts will be put back into force. But it's not going to be easy, because the funding will be there if we vote for the right guy after this asshole is voted out or thrown out. I've said for a long time that I believe Bruce Rauner will be walked out of the Capitol in Springfield in handcuffs, because this guy is corrupt. He's corrupt up his kazoo. Totally corrupt. I'm calling it corruption because he's not doing his job. He's not doing anything positive for the state. I mean, as a governor, as a politician, you are a damn servant of the people. You're not a servant of yourself. You're not a servant for other billionaires and trillionaires, and then you're stepping on the necks of people who work every day for a living. You are a servant of the people. A lot of these assholes can't figure that out. They can't. That's why Ken Duncan couldn't figure it out. That's why they voted his ass out. Now you don't hear nothing from Ken Duncan anymore because he knows his ass is out. The people voted his ass out because he did not do his job the way they wanted him to do it. And they voted his ass into office. In other words, they gave him his job, and he didn't do it. He did it. He was bought off and paid for by Bruce Rauner. So his constituency, who did not like Bruce Rauner, voted his ass out. He was a traitor, folks. What can I say? But I'm going to say this again to the folks of Illinois. Hang in there. This guy's got about two more. He's got about two more years in office. We know he's going to do a lot more damage to the state. We know that. But we can just hope and pray that they take his ass out and lock him up somewhere. Karen Lewis called him a psychopath. There's other people calling him all kind of other nasty names. And he knows it. I can think of a few, but I'm not going to say it on the radio. I'm not going to say, boy, I got some doozies. This guy is a mess. And I want to get back where it says here, the panel votes against Bruce Rauner's plan to close a detention center downstate. Now, that's another loss for Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner is losing all over the place. But yet, if you listen to him, he swears up and down, he haven't lost anything. And he's been losing quite a bit. But he still has a grip on the state. He is a weakened governor. He's weakened. And he knows it. But he don't want you to know that he's a weakened governor. So he's going to try to shift blame for his. Now, why would you close a detention center? That is something that's needed. Bruce Rauner has closed a lot of things in the state of Illinois. Museums. Beautiful and wonderful museums he has closed because he's cut the funding for it. And people can't, people have lost their jobs. People have lost their jobs. The unemployment rate in the state of Illinois has gone through the roof because of this guy. Has gone through the roof because of Bruce Rauner. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, and I'm just ranting, folks. It pisses you off because you live in a beautiful state, a beautiful city, and then you got these politicians who, I don't know. Anyway, let me go ahead on and say this. A bipartisan legislative oversight panel opposed Governor Bruce Rauner's plan to shutter the youth detention center in Kauai, I believe that's what that is, amid hopes for reprieve, repurposing, or at least a plan for disposing of the 15-year-old facility. The Commission on the Government Forecasting and Accountability, 5-4 vote against closure is adversary, but lawmakers' comments reflect unleashes with a delicate topic of housing and treating youthful offenders, as well as the state's track record on mothballing obsolete sites. In other words, they're saying that that detention center is needed. I mean, if you close that detention center, where are those young children going to go? But this is what Bruce Rauner is all about, shedding down facilities where people need those services. People need those services, and he just shuts them down. He stops the funding, throws everybody out onto the streets, and then he blame someone else, preferably Mike Madigan and the Illinois legislature. You remember how the Republicans always blamed Obama for something, and Obama had nothing to do with it? This is the way Bruce Rauner is. He's blaming Michael Madigan. He's blaming the legislature for things that he screw up, and blaming them for it, as if they told him to cut these programs and throw these people out in the street and dismantle unions, hurt the middle class, as if somebody told him to do that. And I'm so sick of talking about Bruce Rauner. I mean, but some things just have to be said. I'm tired as hell as talking about Bruce Rauner. It's like I'm tired as hell of talking about Donald Trump, but these things are in the news, and these things are affecting you, affecting me, so we have to talk about them, even if it's just to get it off our chest. But we're going to do more than get it off our chest. Come 2 years from now, we're going to vote this asshole out of office. We're going to say good riddance to you, man. All you've done is just destroy this, destroy Illinois. And like it's your baby. And if you think about it, a governor, just like the president, a governor can only do 2 terms in office. I mean, if you thought of Rauner, you think Rauner was going to be governor forever. You know, and that's not going to happen. Because a year from now, he should get an opponent. And he should get about 2 or 3 of them because he's vulnerable, he's weak, and he has totally, totally destroyed this state. He wants to see it crumble. He said that. He didn't actually say that, but that seemed as if it's his intentions. Because all he's been doing is cut/burn, and blame. He's got so many people in Illinois in his ass, it's just a shame. But he doesn't care. Because a few months ago, he said he was going to make Illinois a Republican state. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. One of the things about Bruce Rauner is that he has money. He's a billionaire or a multimillionaire. At any rate, he has cash. And he feels that his cash is going to buy him, once again, the governor's office in Illinois in 2018, if he runs again. I got a feeling he probably will. He shouldn't. He really shouldn't. If he had any sense, he would not run again because he is totally disliked. In this state, just about everybody who's anybody dislike him. I mean, they call him all kinds of rotten, low-down names, which I think he deserves. I actually think he deserves. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, 347-857-1762. Folks, earlier today, I was out. We've been out, actually. Basically, all day. I mean, I've been running errands here and there. Sometimes you got to run errands, do this, do that. But I've been running errands. So I've been, before I actually got on the radio today. I was doing errands and stuff like that, running here, running there. We've been doing this, doing that, trying to take care of a few things here and there. I mean, everybody. I mean, we all have errands. That's no doubt about that. So if I sound a little bit out of breath, I am. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. I always look at it as enjoyment. Okay, all right. We're going to take a break right here, a musical break. Someone once said, George, why don't you get some commercials on your show? Why don't you have commercials? I said, I don't want any commercials. I said, I have been approached by those who were saying, you can run commercials on your show. Once the show is downloaded, and if you download it on your computer, I believe before you can, if you click on the show with my picture, if you click on the show before the show actually starts up, there is some sort of jingle, commercial jingle before that's about all that's going to happen here, folks, you know, so, but who knows what the future holds for the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right. You have been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, WTTTY. It is 6:35 straight up, 6:35 p.m. straight up Chicago time. The weather is beautiful. I'm looking at the kids. I'm in my studio. It's a great studio, folks. It just needs a little tidying up here, it's great. It's wonderful. I love it. Let's see if we can take a break right here. Be right back, folks. Stay with me. Thanks. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Have you ever wondered about Jehovah's Witnesses? I have a clip here I want you guys to hear. If you don't know much about the, some people call it a cult. Some people call it a whacked out religion. And some people, you know, some people love it. You know, there's people who have been in this organization for 20, 30, 40 years. And me, myself, I always wanted to know something about it, and because, you know, I was just curious. So here's a clip. It's called Nine Things About Jehovah's Witnesses. It is called Nine Things About Jehovah's Witnesses. I told you I'm kind of out of breath. Here we go.
A lot of people I know think of Jehovah's Witnesses as nothing more than the religious people who sometimes knock on your door because they want to talk to you about God. And that's true. That is something they do. But they don't really know anything about Jehovah's Witnesses' beliefs. So let's fix that right now. Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept blood transfusions. Ever. Imagine you're in a car accident and you get taken to the hospital. They need to give you a blood transfusion so you can live. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you will say no to that. Even worse, they won't allow their children to accept the transfusions. This prohibition has led to reports of Jehovah's Witnesses and their kids dying more times than I can remember. So why is this a rule? Like, where did this even come from? Jewish law forbade eating blood. And the New Testament in Acts chapter 15 verses 28-29 carried that command over into Christianity. By the way, that same passage also tells you you must avoid eating meat from animals that were strangled to death. Now, obviously, most Jews will accept blood transfusions because they understand that eating blood and getting a medical blood transfusion to save your life are completely different things. But Jehovah's Witnesses don't feel that way. They are both one and the same, even if it means saving your life. If you commit what the church views as a serious sin, and a group of church elders finds you unrepentant, you will be disfellowshipped. Not just kicked out of the church, but disfellowshipped, which means no one in the church can ever talk to you ever again. By the way, that could include your family. I know former Jehovah's Witnesses who haven't spoken to their parents in years because of this rule. Basically, if you're disfellowshipped, your family could talk to you about non-church-related things, like how their grandkids are doing or something. But that's it. And when those family members are heavily invested in the church, there really isn't much stuff that's non-church-related that they can talk to you about. So once you're in the church, leaving it basically means saying goodbye to your entire life as you knew it. By the way, what are some of the serious sins that could get you disfellowshipped? Getting a blood transfusion, going to another church, using tobacco, homosexual activity, or openly disagreeing with church leadership. Oh, and not believing in God. They believe the world's ending soon, and only they will be saved. The Watchtower Society, which governs the faith, says that Jesus began ruling over earth from heaven in 1914. October 5th or 6th, to be more precise. They believe that Armageddon is happening soon, and that only those who accept Jehovah's Witness teachings will be saved. Of course, they also said all this about 1914, 1925, and 1975. So their track record for predicting the end of the world isn't very good. Oh, and in case you're wondering, there are about 8 million people who are witnesses and like 7 billion who are not. So odds are you're screwed. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate their birthdays. Why? Well, for one, they think the day of your death is way more important than the day that you were born. So who cares? Also, the Bible only mentions birthdays twice, and both times someone died in the story. So clearly God's sending a sign for us to not celebrate them. Even though dogs are mentioned in the Bible dozens of times, never in a good way, but there's no prohibition in the church on having a pet. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate other holidays either. They don't celebrate Christmas because that's Jesus' birthday. And like I said, they don't do birthdays. Easter? No, thank you. Eggs and bunnies are just a corruption of Christianity. Thanksgiving? Forget it. It's not like Jesus celebrated Thanksgiving. Arbor Day? No, that's tree worship. And only God deserves to be worshipped. Halloween? No. Obviously. Basically, there's only one holiday you're allowed to celebrate as a Jehovah's Witness, and it's the date that Jesus died, which is around Good Friday, but it's not actually Good Friday. Jehovah's Witnesses are currently governed by seven dudes. The governing body formulates doctrine for Jehovah's Witnesses around the world. Women are not allowed. They don't have any special qualifications, despite being able to set policy for millions of followers, and they're appointed for life. Jehovah's Witnesses are discouraged from getting a higher education. Preaching is supposed to be your true calling, and college would just get in the way of that. So while you might be able to get away with learning a trade, church elders actively discourage you from going to a university. They don't want you to be part of a secular world, and they know how tempting it can be when you're surrounded by people who don't feel that God is watching over them at all times. More importantly, a lot of people who go to college are taught to think critically and examine their beliefs. They take science and philosophy classes, and some of them eventually shed their faith. And that's the risk the church just doesn't want you to take. Jehovah's Witnesses were the original pledge protesters. I feel like I should say something nice about the Witnesses. The first major legal battle with the Pledge of Allegiance involved the Jehovah's Witness family in the 1930s. A little boy said he didn't want to salute the flag because his religion taught him not to bow down or pledge allegiance to anything other than God. He was expelled from school for that, and the court said that was the right decision. Years later, kids from a Witness family in Pennsylvania also protested saluting the flag, and their case actually made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the justices voted 8-1 against the family. It was a horrible decision, and it was actually reversed by the Supreme Court in another case a few years later. But Jehovah's Witnesses do deserve credit for being the first to take a stand against the Pledge of Allegiance. Today, it's usually atheists who make the news for protesting the pledge, but historically, that hasn't always been the case. They did it. It wasn't easy. They got harassed when the cases were going on, and yet they stood strong on this issue. So good for them. There are so many resources out there for ex-Jehovah's Witnesses or people who are in the faith looking to get out. Did you know there's a subreddit just for ex-Jehovah's Witnesses? It's awesome. There are also several websites that expose the church's beliefs, and they're almost all written by people who used to be part of the church and managed to escape. My name is Hemant Mehta, and I write at friendlyatheist.com. What do you want to see a video about? Let us know in the comments below, and we'll be sure to check it out. And don't forget to subscribe.
Okay, you might have heard about this. It's been in the news that Chicago is trying or was trying to secure the Lucas Museum, George Lucas of Star Wars fame, to be built in Chicago on the lake, the east. Okay. But the Friends of the Park, they are having none of it, you know. And this has been going on for some time now, maybe a year or so. I mean, they've been wrangling. I mean, George Lucas wants his museum, his Star Wars museum, built in Chicago, built in Illinois. But there's too much damn wrangling going on between the mayor, the Friends of the Park. The mayor wants it, but the Friends of the Park, they don't want it for whatever reasons. And my thing is, George Lucas, I mean, him and his wife, they're sick of this. They want the museum built in Chicago, but if they can't get it built in Chicago, it's tied up in court. I mean, all of this wrangling, George Lucas will do better to pull his plan of building a Star Wars museum in Chicago, pull it out of here, because there's so many other cities and states who want this. Chicago can't seem to get his damn act together. I would like to see it built in Chicago, the Star Wars. I would like to see it. I want to see it. But hey, wow, they just can't seem to get their acts together on this, and we're going to lose this. There's no doubt about it. If we haven't lost it already as I speak, I would love this museum. I think it's great. I think it would be great for the kids, tourists. I think it would be great for the economy, just everything, jobs. I mean, I think it would be just a great added site for the city of Chicago. It would add more beauty to the city of Chicago, but the Friends of the Park don't seem as though they want anything done, okay? They don't want the museum. And Lucas is saying, hey, well, I've got other options. I've got other requests for it to be built in another city, and he's going to do that, and you know, not and probably not have all of the wrangling and the garbage and the difficulty that's thrown at him in Chicago by the Friends of the Park. I would love to see it here. I've seen a blueprint of it. It's beautiful. It'll be wonderful. Star Wars in Chicago, a museum. I mean, it would be such an attraction it would be such a great attraction. But hey, wow, I don't think it's going to happen, man. It's just too much wrangling, too much nonsense, too much bickering, too much disagreement, you know, going on between Mary Rahm Emanuel and the Friends of the Park, whoever the hell they are, you know. But, you know, it's not going to happen. So if George Lucas, if George decides to take his Star Wars museum somewhere else, some other state, some other city, I don't blame the guy at all. I really don't blame him, because this is just ridiculous. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio at 6:49 p.m. straight up Chicago. You're listening to WWTTY, three T's, WTTTY in Chicago, Black Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn. I'm on all over the place. I'm on Twitter. I'm all, and I do get responses from people. I'm even on Amazon.com. I mean, I have books, I have works up there, so I'm all over the place, and I try to be, you know, easily available for people who want to, you know, chat or talk or you know, nice and friendly, whatever. All right, but there are some assholes out there, believe me. There are, and there will probably continue to be. Okay, my guest tomorrow, like I said before, folks, I don't have a guest for today. Somehow no one got booked today. But anyway, tomorrow, May 4th, wow, this month is, you know, moving right along. May 4th, I'm turning my the page here. May 4th, my guest will be Yolanda L. Robinson, okay? I mean, I have emailed her several times. She's emailed me back. She seems so excited to be on the show. And she does. I mean, she's, but you know what? Majority of the people who are on this show, who are booked, they're very excited to be on the show. And you know what? And I'm always genuinely enthusiastic about having them on the show. So Yolanda L. Robinson would be on the show. I did the booking. She will be on the show tomorrow, and she seems so exciting about that. And some of the past guests that I've had on the show who were great, so great to be on the show, they will be back. I always invite people back. I don't mind inviting people back, but they can, you know, if I invite them back 10 times, that means that they are just 10 times great in what they do and what they say, in order for me to invite them back. Because if I invite them back, it means that the people, the listeners out there, like them very much and what they were trying to, or whatever they got across, whatever they were doing or talking about, book or whatever, product or whatever, you know, it was greatly welcomed and received. And they will be returning. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show Smart Quiz Question, and see if we can cue up this Smart Quiz clip here. Okay, Martin Luther King. All righty. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right, the Smart Quiz question, as I stated at the beginning of the show, is who vetoes bills? And if you don't know, it's the president or the governor. You know, I should know a hell of a lot about who vetoes bills, because the governor in Illinois, Bruce Rauner, that's all he ever does is veto spending bills that can pull this state out of the mess that he put it in. We need a budget in the state of Illinois. We are going into an entire year. We don't even have a budget for 2016. And they have to actually start thinking about 2015. So once July, once the fiscal year gets here, July 1st, a whole year, we will have been without a budget for 2 years. July 1st, 2015. July 1st, 2016. So how can we're not going to have a budget for 2016 because we haven't got one for 2015. And this is crazy. My thinking is, I got to get back on Bruce Rauner, folks. My thinking is, if we go into a 12th month without a budget, that should be automatic impeachment or recall for this rotten governor. That should be automatic recall a whole year. Without doing your job, he's not working. I mean, if you and I did not do our jobs, we would get fired. This guy hasn't done his job for a year, just about almost 2 years. And nothing is said. It's just, you know, it just let him just let the state crumble. There's ought to be some kind of recourse. Not to let a Republican governor ruin a state, take a state down to its knees, and then blame someone else for it. You know, it's just unfathomable for some things like this to happen. All right, in Detroit, if we can move right along, thank God. In Detroit, for the second day, the teachers are on strike. The union, you know, had all those teachers. I believe there's 1,500 teachers. The union had 1,500 teachers in Detroit. You might have heard this. To call a strike or not to come to school. Because the teachers want money, basically. They are afraid that they're not going to get their next, they may not get paid in the next month or so. So they all called in to be sick. This is why, okay, it's a sick out, okay? They're not attending school because they're sick. 1,500 teachers are not attending school in Detroit. So the schools are closed. Majority of the schools are closed. 45,000 kids are not in class in Detroit because the teachers are calling in sick. Basically because they feel that they're not going to get their check next month or whatever. So the bad part about this is that the kids are suffering. The kids are suffering. This is what, and people bash me for bashing teachers. I don't bash teachers. I bash some teachers, not all teachers. Just like we have bad cops, good cops, we also have bad teachers, good teachers. You know, nobody gets out of this. And I think a lot of these teachers who are, and I've heard them complain, well, we want our money. We ain't working for money. We need money. We got to pay our bills. Does that sound like a teacher who's dedicated to teaching children? I've heard some people, well, I go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I get off seven o'clock at night. I think that's dedication. Dedication is having your ass in school when things are going badly. That's dedication. That's dedication. Having your ass in school with those children. That's dedication. Dedication is not, you know, throwing kids out of school and on the street because you want a few more dollars on your paycheck. Teachers are some of the highest paid people in the country. And they, some of them, not all of them, so don't come bashing me or calling me or inboxing me saying, George, you're wrong on teachers. Some teachers are selfish. They think about only themselves. I look at teachers, this is the way I see teachers. I see teachers as being dedicated teachers. I know the bill's got to be paid. But to me, 1,500 teachers calling in sick in Detroit and all 45,000 children in that city are out on the street, that's not right. They are not putting the child's education above dollars. If you are a dedicated teacher, you would put dollars second and your kids first. And I know about the bills. They have to be paid. But I'm pretty sure you teachers, as much as money as you get paid, you're not going to be homeless because you decide to go to school and volunteer to teach those kids while this crisis is occurring. I'm for the kids more than I am for the teachers. Because I know we got some greedy teachers out there. We got some obnoxious teachers out there. We've got some awful teachers out there. And we've got some great teachers out there. We got some wonderful, dedicated teachers. We do. Just like I said, just as I've gotten through saying, we've got bad police officers. We got good police officers. We got bad teachers. And there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. We got good teachers, got bad teachers. There's no doubt about that. From my understanding, folks, the Friends of the Parks saying that they're coming up with a deal to try to get this Lucas Museum on the East Coast near the lake in Chicago. I hope so. I really hope so. I want to see the museum because I want to take my family to this museum. I know it's going to be great. And I'm hoping that Chicago gets that museum because we need it. I mean, Chicago is not the city with the most crime in America. We do have our crime. And I want to say to this new superintendent, what's his name? Eddie Johnson, the brand new one. Since this guy's been superintendent for a few weeks now, maybe a couple months, crime has risen under this guy more so than it has McCartney. What is he doing to keep people from shooting each other, to keep people from killing each other? He's going around blaming the parents.
You parents, y'all got to be better parents now.
Now, he's getting over $200,000 for that. That's crazy. Crime is sickening. People walking up and shooting you in the back of the head. That's crazy. People walking up, hitting you in the back of the head, taking your phone. You can't ride the subway. You know, I mean, we had an incident today on the subway. You know, thugs get on the subway and try to, you know, rob the passengers, beat up on the passengers. Where are the police? You know, so, we can get back to this teacher thing. So it's so much news, folks. It is so much going on. It is so much. And I try not to be, I really don't want to be a person who just sits around and just talk about things. I want to be a person that gets things done. I don't want to be just talk, put some action behind those words. And that's what I try to do. And that's what I try to motivate other people to do. You know, because so many people just sit back and let things happen. You can't do that. You sit back and let things happen, it's going to happen. Be motivated to do something to stop those things from happening. Put some action behind your words. And I'm sitting behind a microphone here, but I do put action behind my words. I do attend rallies. I do give speeches. I do write. And I give my point of view. Even if someone disagrees with it, at least they can respect me for giving my point of view on this or that matter pertaining to trying to make the world a better place. And I think we should all strive to make the world a better place. Get rid of those who are making the world not a better place, maybe a worse place to live. I had a person on my show, and I can't remember her name, but I can remember what she was talking about. She was talking about getting the clutter out of your life. When she said clutter, she meant garbage. And garbage can come in any form. Garbage can be, well, actual garbage. Or garbage can be people around you. We've got to strive to make the world a better place if we have to get rid of the garbage and the clutter in our lives. I think that's one of the ways to start. You know, so we've got to do something in that effect. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm talking about doing it for yourself. Oh, wow. Have you ever looked out of the window and you've seen some people walk by your window that you know? You want to go, hey, but you can't. Wow. It is such a lovely day out here, folks. I'm looking out. I'm in my studio looking out of the window, and people are walking around in short sleeves. So that tells me, you know, that it's pretty, pretty nice outside when people are walking around in short sleeves. But that's not always accurate. Because a lot of times if people are walking around in short sleeves and shorts, it's cold as hell outside. And you wonder, what have they been smoking? You know, I'm thinking it's very, very nice out there because a lot of people, we are sick and tired of the cold weather. We're sick and tired of the rain. We're sick and tired of the wind. We just want it to be spring. We want it to be spring so summer can come. But, you know, it's easier said than done at some times. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Like I said before, people, I live in the city of Chicago. We do have our crime rate, and I want to say this, that it's getting better. It's getting a lot better. So don't flee the city. Don't run this from the state. If we've got problems, stay, and we will face it together. We will get over it. There's so many people who have left the state because of Bruce Rauner and what he's doing. Of course, there's people who have left the state because they don't like Rahm Emanuel. Of course, there's people who have left the state because of the weather. Would you believe that? The people have left Chicago because of the weather. Oh, the weather just, and now I'm with them right there. I mean, people have left. I mean, when I first heard it, I said, what? The weather? I'm saying, wow, they'd rather stay here with all these high taxes, but they're going to leave because of the weather. But that's what it's funny, folks. People are leaving because of the weather. You would think it would be something else more in terms of economical. But no, it's too cold. We got to go. I'm freezing my ass off. We got to go. You know? So, all right, then. Call you later, all right, when you get there. Okay, but the weather in Chicago, I mean, it is something for the record books. It is, and it always has been. I mean, that's where this city gotten its name, the Windy City, because you the minute you turn the corner, that wind is going to be whipping, boy. I mean, it's going to be coming after you, and that's one of the reasons why they call it the Windy City. But it is a great city. Chicago is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful town. Anybody tell you that? Even people are leaving, that's fine. People can do whatever they want to do, but it's a beautiful town. I mean, you go downtown, you visit the downtown, you visit the Loop, you visit Grand Park, you visit a Millennium Park, you visit some of the museums that are still open that Rauner has not closed yet, probably. It's beautiful. You visit the Botanic Garden, you visit the Fine Arts Building. It's gorgeous, the movie houses. It's beautiful. It's a picturesque city, and you wouldn't think that about all the negative that's coming out of Chicago. Of course, when someone gets killed or shot in the head in Chicago, it makes national news. these killings in Chicago, they make national news because it happens so often in Chicago, and it's always, what is the word I'm looking for? It's always, what? It happens so often, and it's always so senseless. Senseless, and it makes the national news. You know, it's all over the world. Chicago, someone just got shot in the head. It's from Chicago. I mean, and it makes Chicago look bad. But the thing about it, the mayor, the governor, the police superintendent, they do not know how to discuss crime to the national media. And in fact, Rauner doesn't discuss crime, period. I mean, I have not heard him say or even read anything about him saying about the crime problem in the city of Chicago. I have not heard him say or mention how he was going to help to combat crime in the city of Chicago. I have not heard that because he doesn't like Chicago. I've said this earlier. He doesn't like public schools. He doesn't like unions. Chicago is a union town. Actually, Illinois is labor. And Rauner does not like that. He hates unions. He despises unions. So therefore, if he hates unions and Chicago is a union town, he dislikes Chicago. If he hates unions, he dislikes the public schools because he wants to take, he has proposed to take $74 million away from a school that is already broke. How can you squeeze something from a turnip when there's nothing to squeeze? But he's going to find a way. He's going to take that $74 million that he's proposed. He's going to take that and put it into schools downstate in the suburbs and give it to those schools districts. And they actually do not need it. They're rich. They're rich people. They're well-to-do schools. He's going to take money from a poor school and give it to a well-to-do school. That doesn't make sense. It's Robin Hood in reverse, taking from the poor and giving to the rich. That's what these Republicans are. That's what they are all about. A few years ago, the Republicans in Congress were doing the same thing. They just put their feet on the necks of the middle class. They put their feet on the necks of the poor, and they like it. And it gets worse every time they do it. Wow. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Smart quiz question, who vetoes bills? I just gave you the answer. It can be the president or it can be your governor. And I've said before, Rauner has vetoed so many bills, his head is probably spinning. You know, so I jump in his ass every now and then because especially we may be going into our 11th month without a budget in the state of Illinois, and that's hurting the state. Folks, we are hurting. We've got a governor that's hurting this city. We've got a governor that's hurting this state, and we've got a governor who just don't seem to care. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to take a break right here, folks. Let's see if we can take a musical break right here.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Folks, one of my computers just went out. I'm sitting here, in my studio, and I'm watching one of them just went out. Of course, the one that's more important is still here, because if this computer that I'm sitting in front of had gone out, you wouldn't be able to hear me. But anyway, Bruce Rauner's plan to close the detention center has failed. I mean, everything this guy has done, folks, has failed. I mean, he is one failed governor. He, like I said before, we have crime in the city of Chicago. There's crime in Detroit. There's crime in Minnesota. There's crime in Cleveland. There's, you know, so do not, you know, put us in, you know, one of those bags that say that that Chicago is the only one with high murder rates, because we're not. We're not. CPS students to use the bathroom that matches gender ID. So that's, instead of them trying to get some money or not to go on strike, they're saying that if you are a transgender student, you can use the bathroom identifying that gender. In other words, if you are a boy and you want to be a girl, so if you want to be a girl, you want once a boy, you can use the girl's bathroom. I got to do some more studying on that, you know, but that's one of the things that's coming out of the Chicago public schools. And I'm pretty sure Bruce Rauner hates that. He can't stand it, you know. So that's one of the things that's coming out of Chicago public schools. And let's see. Judge ruling strengthens hand in struggling taxi industry. Oh, yeah, the taxi industry, the cab driving industry, of course, that is going to be an afterthought after a while. You got all these private companies getting into the arena with owners driving their own cars and picking up passengers. And this is knocking those cab drivers out. I mean, I remember a few years ago, they were bitching like I don't know what about the Uber drivers, but somehow they lost out on that. They are really on their way out. You know, they are really on their way out, you know. So, but I wouldn't get in an Uber driver if someone paid me. I wouldn't get in the Uber car if someone paid me. I hear too many bad things about it. And every time I look around, some Uber drivers being arrested for this or that, assaulting a passenger or something or other. And I don't think I would do it. I think I would, even though the cab industry is in trouble, I probably would get a cab. I'm so used to getting a cab. I think the last time I went to the doctor, it was an Uber driver. But I just hear so much bad things about Uber driving. But if you listen to the Uber commercials, you would swear up and down nothing's happened. All those passengers who are assaulted by Uber drivers aren't suing the company, okay? You would think that anyway, because they always sound so spirit-like, so much spirit, you know, even though the spirit is not there. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if we can do a clip on – this is a clip. This was directed at Rauner. I mean, I wished I was at this rally when they had it going on for Rauner.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel on Tuesday laid out a stark choice for the cash-strapped city as he proposed a 2016 budget aimed at resolving a financial crisis linked to unfunded pensions either slash vital public safety and other services, or enact the biggest ever property tax increase. In a half-hour speech to Chicago's 50 aldermen, Emanuel said spending cuts would mean reducing 20% of the police force, closing 48 fire stations and laying off 40% of the city's firefighters. In short, if we were to fund our pensions with cuts alone, our city services would become unreliable. Our city would become unlivable. And that would be totally unacceptable, he said, promising his plan would wipe out Chicago's structural budget deficit within the next 4 years. Emanuel, who was elected to a second term in February, proposed a $543 million increase in prop.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on
Blog
Talk Radio.
I don't want to hear that.
What do we want? What do we want? What do just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs, and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. And everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on the sales street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something? We don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you left. Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job.
Hey, don't get me fucked.
To this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Brook City. No, this is the city and the state of the people of Illinois. that deserves the best that it has to offer. We are not going to be held hostage. We are not going to be held against our will. Our children are not going to be the cannon fodder to fight your fight. This is something that needs to be addressed. We want the governor as your voice and as your ears down in Springfield. We want the governor to come to the table not talking about things that doesn't need. We don't need to be talking about remapping.
Right.
A budget has nothing to do with remapping.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a term limit. It's called come out and vote.
Right. Right.
Get the vote. That's
all right.
Join me tomorrow. Bye-bye.